Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's me, that update on your computer that you've been dismissing for the past few months. I know it's going to take me a while to update your computer and all the different things inside of it, but how about to pass the time? You just sit back, relax, and listen to an episode of this podcast. Before we continue my first ever journey through the Harry Potter series, just a few quick announcements. First, as we mentioned, and as is the practice here at Potterless, anytime we do something that J.K. Rowling had a hand in, we will be donating part of the ad sales of the episode to a different LGBTQ+ charity. And for these four episodes of Crimes of Grindelwald, I will be donating a portion of the ad sales to the Anti-Violence Project. So the Anti-Violence Project has been around for over 40 years, and they have pushed to end all forms of violence against the LGBTQ+ community, as well as people affected by HIV. They do a whole bunch of stuff from community organizing to public advocacy to economic empowerment to legal services to the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, as well as an intimate partner violence network for the LGBTQ+ community in New York State. They do a whole bunch of stuff covering a lot of different areas, and if you want to learn about who they are or what they do, you can go to avp.org. And I'd also like to thank the newest members of our team over at patreon.com/potterless for supporting the show. So shout out to Ariel Andriano, Lisa Wygond, and Sean Kirkoba. And I want to give a huge shout out to our newest producer level patron, Maya Saunders from Tree and Me Genealogy. They join the ranks of Vicky, Christine, Aaron, Clown, Marchismo, Juan, Rose, Marie, Maria, Lisa, Audra, Eleanor, Nikita, Rachel, Zachary, Alex, John, Noel, Claire, Rory, Veronica, Lotta, Noah, Tracy, Colleen, Jennifer, Justin, Jacob, Maya, Mark, Polly, Zina, Hardlin, Noelia, Nikki, Kine, Amanda, Kafir, Sarah, Marta, Maya, Floor, Georgia, Skyla, Adele, Professor Threat, Ellie, Michael, Kelly, Kerry, Connie, Jen, Nedry, Will, Marcos, Marik, Ashton, Brittany, Phelan, The Meadows Family, Ginny, Heather, Kevin, Jarl, Peta, Janin, Callahan, Leah, Bella, Melanie, Becca, Rees, Adam, Joseph, Madison, Tonks, Sabrina, Sophia, Farzan, Melanie, Matt, Okamahime, Boney Pony, Kelsey, Ricky, Taylor, Megan, Riley, Laurel, Erica, Miranda, Kendra, Natanya, Yogan, Darcy, Sandra, Craig, Leor, Demi, Michelle, Henrique, Casey, Magan, Sat, Jack, Sophia, Dane, Robin, Chick, Mermaid, Daddykins, Gregory, Cawcaw, Nina, Ribbon, Brittany, Gavin, Jack, Serenity, Emily, Haley, Sabrina, Jenna, Laura, Hila, Eileen, Annette, Kirsten, Hufflepuff, Brett, Mary, Artemis, Transpeopler, People, Samantha, Nina, Tatiana, Taylor, Karis, Vomit Spiders, Tony, Joe, Punkfish, Wire Warrior, Catherine, Joe, Michael, Steamed Nuggets, and Can't I Potter? Who always can get their gas ovens consistently to turn on the first try, and they never sit there with the dial going and the click, 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 click happening over and over and over again until minutes later, finally, the oven turns on. If you want to be like one of these amazing patrons and get access to bonus episodes, director's commentary, exclusive live streams, and more, you can head on over to patreon.com/potterless. Those bonus episodes are getting fun. I'm redoing some Hogwarts Mystery iPhone game stuff, an old trend of bonus episodes I used to do way back in 2018. We're bringing it back. It's some fun stuff. You can check all of that out at patreon.com/potterless. But without further ado, let's get into episode 167 of Potterless, the second of four episodes covering The Crimes of Grindelwald, guest starring Robin and Bayana from Wizard Team. Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another episode of Potterless, the tale of a grown man who never read the Harry Potter series as a kid. He read them as an adult, and then unfortunately, he watched a movie called The Crimes of Grindelwald. I am Mike Schubert. I am that grown man. I saw that bad movie, and I'm here to continue the discussion. Oh, let me stop you right there before we continue the discussion past Mike. Hey, it's me, editing Mike. How's it going, everybody? So in the last episode of Potterless, there was supposed to be another edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James, but like a fool, I forgot to take some files off of the studio computer and put them onto my personal the laptop because this is a very special edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James, because she's the guest for the next two episodes of Potterless. So I was able to do a live via video chat edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James. So now, in place of what should have been their last episode, here is a very special edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James.
And now it's time for a special live in video call edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James. Dottie, I have to do the normal voice. Dottie, in...
I wouldn't have been able to hold it together.
In this movie, at one point, Newt says there are no mean beasts or whatever, just blinkered people. Mm-hmm. Is that anything?
It is. At first, without context, I thought he meant drunk, because in the UK, anything ending with an ED, it's like a really common joke. Lots of comedians talk about it. Anything ending with an ED can mean that you are like plastered, drunk,
wasted. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
That sort of thing. So I thought that at first, but then I realized upon watching the film that he just means it's like when a horse has its blinders on.
Oh.
And it's like you are so focused on one thing, you're sort of clueless to other things. I think he just means
like tunnel vision.
Yeah, just human obsessed, not animal aware.
Okay.
I think that's what he means.
Wonderful. Well, this has been a special edition of British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James.
Thank you.
I am Mike Schubert. I am That Grown Man. I saw that bad movie, and I'm here to continue the discussion of that bad movie with good people. It's Robin and Bayana from Black Girls Create. How's it going, team? How are we feeling? You excited to talk more about this shit?
We're still talking about this movie. I, for one, think we should talk about anything but this movie.
Yeah, we're here.
Well, let's pick it up where we left off, and let's just get right into it so that we can be done talking about this movie sooner.
Sounds great.
So now, cut to London, because again, we have to keep cutting. And I do love that the first thing that happens is you have a car driving down the road, and then the horn just lets out a "awooga" like noise, like very clearly, "Hello, everyone, we're in 1927, don't forget." So Newt is here, and I don't remember why. I just noted that he used a spell called Ventus, and I've been playing a lot of Kingdom Hearts recently, and Ventus is one of the names of the characters in Birth by Sleep, so that made me very happy. It's a wind spell, which goes along with his name, so shout out to all my Kingdom Hearts nerds.
I'm thinking about Dragon Prince now.
I have not seen Dragon or read Dragon Prince or even know what it is.
It is from the same people that did Avatar. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. It's a show.
Great. That's very fun. So then there is a moving glove that is a portkey to a rooftop where Newt talks to Dumbledore. And I don't care about the whole discord of like Dumbledore, his aging isn't proper. Like, oh yeah, speaking of names, Jude fucking Law is Dumbledore. Come on. It's incredible. I love him as Dumbledore. It makes no sense with like the timeline aging, but like, I don't care. I'm not going to complain about getting Jude Law in a movie. He looks great. No one else should be wearing suits. Jude Law is okay. He gets a pass for wearing suits.
Did you see Jude Law in The Young Pope? That man can be as campy as he wants to be. He can rock a robe. He can rock a robe.
Yeah.
A plum velvet suit. Put Jude in that. Oh my God, please.
He would really kill it.
He would kill a plum velvet suit.
That is the upsetting thing is like, when does Dumbledore get the flair? Like, at least he could have had the fun purple. You're right, man. That's upsetting. Missed opportunity.
Even a gray three-piece suit. Dumbledore, my man with the teal from head to toe. Okay.
He is rocking a corduroy pea coat in this opening scene, though, and that is a pretty solid move.
But what
I
color
do appreciate
is it?
Yeah, it's like a grayish teal, like maybe a hint of blue at best.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Dumbledore does some sort of like fog spell, and it makes the entire town have fog now, and then walks around with Newt and they talk about stuff. He reveals that pureblood wizards believe that Credence is the long-lost brother of Leader Lestrange, you know, a black woman, and he's the last in line of a famous French family. And we'll learn about the truth of this later in what is easily the worst scene in cinematic history.
I'm so glad that we're here for the first half.
Yeah.
Love that.
I love that for us. I will say, though, it's really frustrating because back when she wasn't talking about this. I mean, I guess she's always been talking on the side of her ass and we just didn't know. She had this whole thing about like the beauty of Hermione Granger is it doesn't matter. Like, and the beauty of magic in general is like, it's a great equalizer. Like you have magic, you're like creative or whatever. And all of a sudden now, Creedence got to be a Lestrange, and every like other person has the same name as someone that we met in the original series. And it's like, no, just no, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It's lazy.
It's definitely lazy. And it's like they're trying to Easter egg it. They're just trying to get people to, as often as possible, go, oh, they said the thing. Yeah. But then it raises so many questions, because it seems strange to have these ancestors in very high profile roles and situations that just never get talked about. And to make all of this backstory, like, I understand trying to want to tie it into current characters because it's interesting, but it just makes it more confusing that no one ever talked about Leta ever. And given, like, how many houses Credence has destroyed, like, they've never brought him up ever. It just feels like that's something that would have come up in a wizard history class or when they talk about Grindelwald. Like, it's so weird to not just make a new character.
It also feels like, why would you let the Lestranges or the Blacks accumulate any power if right. they've been out here being fascist for
this whole time? This whole time.
Right. You could have all of this same backstory stuff and just not make it the Lestrange family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially because at the end of this movie, they establish he's actually not a Lestrange. So yeah. it doesn't do anything. You can have this French rich family and they just have a different last name. And then you're not going to anger all these fans by trying to like tie up all these loose ends that don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It just seems so unnecessary. And it's like they're pandering, but it doesn't work.
It's the like fan service. It's like weird because like, I think about it the most with Game of Thrones, like those last
I've not
two
seen
seasons.
It, so I don't
I
know.
I won't spoil it, but thank they you. Do a couple of things where it's what they think fans want, but what we really want is, like, the story. You know what I mean? Like, it's like yeah. the reason that we come to these, like, stories is because of the story itself, not because, and like we fall in love with the characters because of the journeys that the writers put them through. It's not just because they like
have that name.
Those things can help, but it's not just about like, oh, they look pretty or they like, it's all the things that you build up in them. And then to be like, oh, well, now we're just gonna like throw their name at you. It's like, what is that? Doesn't mean anything separated from the
a good
stuff,
story.
From a good story and the reason that we're like even here in the first place. And so it's like a weird thing where I think the only time I've ever really liked fan service is in-game. Like, I feel like Marvel does a good job of, like, knowing what the fans want, but also, like, delivering on the story at the same time. Like, they have to happen together and make sense. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's ridiculous. So Dumbledore is now asking Newt to basically do the same thing that the Ministry did. But he's asking in a nice way, so maybe it'll work. There is also one point where Dumbledore apparates away, and then I think Newt follows him, but then later in the conversation, he apparates away a second time, and then Newt can't follow him? Like, how did he know where he went the first time? It was very confusing, but Dumbledore says that he can't do it. It has to be Newt. So, you know, Dumbledore's playing head games from day one. He gives him this card for a safe house and gives it to Newt, and then that's the end of that scene. Newt goes to his house, and then there's baby Nifflers, which is cute. Love that, actually. They're there. They're cute. And one like falls down the stairs, and he says Bunty a bunch, and then you think, oh, this Niffler's name is Bunty. But then it turns out that Newt has an assistant now, and her name is Bunty, and she is here in this scene, and then not the rest of the movie, and like contributes nothing.
And she's in love with him. Because that matters.
It's very Sherlock.
It's so Sherlock.
Yes, like, that's what it was.
And Stephen Moffat just, you know they'd be getting coffee together.
They have to.
Because it's the same thing.
It's so strange. So he does like your... So it's like a condensed version of the Beast briefcase scene from the first movie, which was great. This one is shorter and not as good. He rides the Kelpie, which really does look like it's made out of just straight kelp, so it's living up to its name. Mm-hmm. The CGI, though, I felt like was a step down. I feel like the CGI in this movie is worse than the first one. And I don't know if it's just like it was rushed or whatever, but like specifically with the Kelpie, it looked mad fake, like really fake.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it's fine. So Newt goes upstairs, and now Jacob and Queenie are here, and they explain that Jacob can remember everything now because he says that the rain is only going to erase bad memories and he didn't have any, so he didn't. And then Newt thinks Tina's going to be here too, but she's not, so then he gets sad. And then it becomes very clear that Jacob is under some sort of spell.
She deconstructs what Obliviate is in like one sentence and ruins.
Well, was it Obliviate? Because it was Frank.
It was the
potion.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a potion
thing, yeah.
But even still, like, they never said it was, like, they just decided, oh, we want Jacob back, so we're just gonna...
Right. What makes no sense is, like, the way that they introduced this here, because Jacob is so clearly under a love spell from Queenie, you think that he has forgotten everything, and this is all some spell crap that Queenie's put on him. But then you learn that the love spell was like just to make him want to get married. But then when it goes away, he still does remember everything. So right. What Queenie's initial explanation feels like complete bullshit, but then it's actually the truth, but it makes no sense. And this gets back to like my biggest complaint with the ending of the first movie is that you didn't have to have Jacob walk in the rain. Mm-mm. It made no sense. You didn't have to do it. You could just do this thing where you want to get him out of America, get him into Britain where they're more accepting and he can marry Queenie, boom. And that's basically what they do here. So I don't know why did they change from one to the other? It's so ridiculous.
This is also, it's like the biggest thing too is like Queenie puts Jacob under a love spell because the way they explain it is Jacob loves Queenie. Queenie loves Jacob. Queenie and Jacob are not allowed to get married in America. And so Jacob isn't going to marry Queenie because he doesn't want her to have to get like cut off from magical world and get in trouble. However, you can marry muggles in Britain. Mm-hmm. So why would you take away Jacob's consent? Why don't you just convince him to move to Britain? The man is a baker. You can bake anywhere.
Right.
And he's not like he's like rich.
Yeah. The whole thing is drama for the sake of drama when like the fix is like literally right there.
The fix is right there.
Yeah. They unnecessarily, at the end of the first movie, backed themselves into this corner of Jacob having to forget stuff. And then they just immediately delete it. And then they don't give you like a real explanation for how it happened. It's very strange, especially because like he did forget everything at that final scene where he's in the bakery and stuff. But then he remembers, I don't know. They don't really explain it. It doesn't make any sense. It's bad. I am happy with the result, which is more Jacob in this movie, just because Jacob's like the only good thing in this franchise. So like, I'm not going to complain with the result, but like the way it comes about makes no sense at all. But then we learn from Queenie via this book called Spellbound. It's like a magazine of sorts that has a messed up photo that says Newt and not Theseus is engaged to Lita. So Tina got upset because of that. Now she's dating some other dude, and Tina's also upset about Queenie and Jacob being together. Tina's new man is called Achilles, so I guess everybody's just Greek now.
Wait, we never see him.
No, we never see him. We never hear about him. It's just this one name drop thing, and that is
it. Cool. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. No, he just doesn't exist. I mean, he does exist apparently, but he doesn't exist.
Yeah, he goes to a different school.
Yeah, I'm excited for the third movie where I guess like him and Bunty can get together because Newt is just going to end up with Tina.
They're doing a third movie.
They are, yeah. Wild stuff. There were supposed to be five. Uh-oh.
Y'all have fun with that.
Yeah, don't call us, Mike. We're not
No, I'm not doing that. No way. So the movie now changes the way in which the thoughts, mind reading Queenie stuff works, where it says it out loud. This is not how it happened in the first movie. Newt thinks that she's enchanted him, and then he convinces Queenie, I guess, just by saying, like, let me do it, to remove the charm from Jacob. So he does, and then Jacob didn't know about the engagement. Queenie gets upset and leaves. Jacob chases after her. And then in what is actually a rare funny moment in this film, before he leaves, he turns to Newt and asks, oh, and where am I? And Newt says, London. And then he screams in anger, I always wanted to go here, Queenie! Like, it was actually funny. Like, Jacob's barely in this movie, which is a crime, one of the many crimes of Grindelwald. And he's so good. It's so upsetting that he's barely in this film. So he goes outside, he talks to Queenie, and this is where we get this exposition dump in that, like, Jacob was fine with them being together, but he didn't want to get married because he was afraid that this would endanger Queenie, even though this is like a totally normal thing for them to do as wizard and muggle in London. But apparently, it's like a big deal. I have no idea. Queenie calls him a coward, and then he almost calls her crazy, which, not a great term to use, you know, understandable. Mm-hmm. It's ableist. Try to avoid saying that. But she did provoke this by calling him a coward.
And drugged
and
him.
She drugged him. Like, yeah. I didn't think very much of Queenie in the first movie. Like, there just wasn't enough. Like, it was very,
yeah,
like,
she's
very much like an archetype, whatever. But in this one, I actively hate her. Like,
Yeah.
I need her to go.
That's the proper way to think about her.
It's also, like, I don't know, again, I can't remember a lot of this movie, but I've got the screenplay up, because why not? I'm meaning it. So, Queenie says, why is it wrong to want to marry you? It's not, but you drugged him.
Mm-hmm.
She then says, you're not giving me a choice. One of us has to be brave, and you were being a coward. And she was not being a coward by drugging him.
Yeah, by literally giving him no choice.
And all Jacob said is, I can't have you risking everything like this. You know, you're not giving us a choice. And then he's the bad guy at the end of the scene, and I can't understand how, because she drugged him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
disapparates and walks away.
And then he's, like, not mad at her anymore after
that. He's not mad at her. He's like, no, wait, Queenie, I didn't mean it. I didn't say nothing. Like, it doesn't matter. You were drugged.
Yeah.
And brought across the world without your permission.
Yep.
I feel like that's a deal breaker. I don't know.
It should be.
Maybe, you know, social mores have changed since the 20s. But drugging me and kidnapping me seems like irreconcilable differences. I don't know. Just me.
100%. Agreed.
Hate it.
So then we cut to Newt back inside, and he does, and I shit you not, Papyrus Reparo to repair the ripped up postcard. And I'm pretty sure Reparo just repair stuff so you don't have to say it in front. I know there is Oculus Reparo in the movies, but I think that's just a movie thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure in the books you just say repair and you repair stuff. But if you're establishing this, that means anytime you repair something, you have to say some sort of word. And the fact that the spell thing for paper is papyrus, like, are you kidding me? The Egyptian paper made from reeds?
So,
really?
So unnecessary.
Ridiculous. So he does Papyrus Reparo, yeah. And it's a postcard from Tina to Queenie saying that she's in Paris. So now, this is what finally makes him want to go to Paris. Not the ministry wanting him to do it. Not Dumbledore wanting him to do it. But that girl that he has a crush on is in Paris, so I'm out of here, so I'm going.
And thinks that he's engaged. Because they have not talked at all.
No.
In 6 months.
Apparently.
9 months.
Nine. Dang.
Yeah.
He has a crush on her. She has a crush on him. They went through this life-changing adventure together. He went back to the UK and they stopped talking.
And, like, Robin knows, I'm one for a slow burn. Love a slow burn. This is just sad. Like, I just do not care.
So Newt's packing up. He has a newspaper clipping of Tina in his suitcase, like a creep. And this clipping says that she's an Auror again, so she's gotten her job back. Jacob wants to come along too, because he thinks if Tina's there, Queenie will be there, so I can get Queenie back. And then Newt does a drying spell on him, and it makes the noise of a blow dryer, which, like, I get is funny, but also, like, really?
No.
Like, you think that's part of the spell? Is that wizards who notoriously hate Muggle technology are like, this spell will sound like a Muggle invention that I don't even know if it existed in 1927.
Hey everyone, it's me, Editing Mike, and with the power of Google, I was able to discover that the hairdryer was invented in 1888? That is way older than I thought it was. Alexandre Ferdinand Gonfroy, a French coiffeur inventor? That's a hairstylist inventor, patented the hairdryer's earliest ancestor. The contraption was to be hooked up to any suitable form of heater, which would send hot air through a pipe to a dome surrounding someone's head. Now, this old school contraption wouldn't make the same classic hairdryer noise that the spell did, but apparently in the 1920s is when they started coming about for ones that had motors and fans inside of them, so it is conceivable that a spell in 1927 could mimic a real invention. I still don't think it makes any sense, but at least the timeline isn't off. Anyway, back to the podcast.
So he leaves a note for Bunty that says, Bunty, gone to Paris, have taken the Nifflers with me. I know the Nifflers, like, do some stuff later on, but, like, why'd you bring the Nifflers? Did you need to bring them?
Also, like, why tell Bunty? He put in writing that he's going to Paris. Like,
ooh, yeah, leave no trace. Come on, guy.
He's trying to sneak out.
That's not good. They raid your house. You've got evidence. You're sneaking out without documentation. You're doing a bad job.
Why he shouldn't be an R, because he doesn't even know how to evade them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how you don't know how to evade me, Pass Mike. Hey, it's Editing Mike. How's it going, everybody? Back again here to introduce the segment that we all know and love. Got to take a little break here for Wingardium Leviosa. Today's episode of Potterless is brought to you by Skillshare. Let's say hypothetically that you are Newt Scamander and you have been tasked with basically being an Auror, but you don't know how to be an Auror, so you need to learn very quickly. How could you learn stuff very quickly? You could do so with Skillshare. No matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes because time is what we make of it. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. They have so many things that you can explore. You can create real projects. You can learn a new craft. You can try to further develop something that you already have a little bit of skill in, and you can meet fellow creators online and try to empower yourself to accomplish some real growth. They have a bunch of wonderful classes. I've taken some and really enjoyed them, and one that they have that's new that sounds very interesting is one called Artivism, Creating Inspiring Art for Change. This is taught by Nicholas Smith. I've been trying to do as much good as possible with Potterless, and it would be an interesting course for me to learn how I can try to make art that can come about and bring some change. I'd like to try and do that. So to learn about this in a course would be really nice. But whatever you're trying to learn or further develop, Skillshare has many different courses ranging from photography to illustration to video production. So much fun stuff over at Skillshare. And as a Potterless listener, you can explore your creativity at skillshare.com/potterless and get a free trial of a premium membership. Again, that is skillshare.com/potterless, and you will get a free trial of a premium membership. So go to skillshare.com/potterless, try out that free premium membership, and learn how to be an Auror on the fly today. And now you'll hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for me to be a full-time podcaster. Some of these ads will be read by me, others of them won't. The ones that aren't are inserted locally, so if you live internationally, don't be surprised if you hear an ad in your country's native language. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Potterless.
This episode of Potterless is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want, and then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me, and then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/potterless. Wow, that is a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack is $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/potterless for 10% off your first purchase. So if you want to collect some cards or rip open some packs in a more transparent way, whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
So we see new hair, Tina, at the French Wizarding Circus.
Tina had new hair?
It's just like shorter a little bit. It's just like a little bit better. It's not like that new.
I like legitimately was like, I did not. No clue.
It's not that different. I only know because I watch these movies back to back.
Right.
So.
Good Lord.
That's the only way.
Better you than me.
So. Now we also see Credence, who has better hair and also looks about 6 years older, even though it's supposed to be 9 months. He has aged so much. I know that the movies are filmed multiple years apart, but like he looks so much older than he did in the first movie. And he's with, Nagini. And they're like vaguely in love, maybe? They never explain this, of course. But Credence has a photo.
Can I stop you to read yes, from the screenplay? Yes.
Please do.
Tina walks past street performers, a half troll, a few misshapen and particularly downtrodden humanoids, and she calls them under beings, without powers but of magical ancestry, half elves, half goblins. The racism in this is astounding.
Yeah, I mean, we just did an entire episode of Potterless about how the anti-Semitism of the goblins is huge. So, yeah, to have these other races and be like, it's the lesser people. Yeah. Watch them do kind of magic.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, basically, she's saying like mixed race, mixed species, I guess. I don't know. And they are classified as under beings.
Super cool stuff.
Super cool.
Movie came out in what, 2018, 2019?
Yeah.
Super cool stuff.
Yep.
Hate it here.
So the circus runner, he exposition dumps a whole bunch to the crowd about how Nagini came to be, like setting this backstory of what is not a good look. And I know that it's supposed to be based off of this actual Asian mythology about people getting cursed into animals. I'm not well versed in the actual mythology of it, but I am aware that when Korean woman Nagini becomes pet of white man Voldemort, that is a very bad look.
It's and not great.
I do know how you don't see it coming, but like, come on.
It's awful. And on Wizard Team, we have our own Nagini lore and we just reject this because.
Good. Yeah. Smart.
We don't really go into backstory. We look ahead, but still.
Yeah. So she's doing this Nagini routine where she turns into the snake. And Credence, at the big reveal where she turns into the snake, he busts out all the creatures. And then Nagini attacks the ringleader by going through the bars. Clearly, you got a bad cage if your snake can just fit through it.
It also doesn't make sense to me because, like, I mean, it's not like a big deal, I guess, in the scheme of things, but he talks about like he's like at night, like she's cursed to do this. So it makes it seem like she wouldn't have control over it.
Yeah.
But instead, this whole time, she's just like a shapeshifter and she's like, oh, I want to be a snake now.
Yeah. He makes her do it on command and there's frustration and the crowd starts laughing because she's not doing it at the exact moment.
Right.
And then eventually she does. But yeah, the whole speech is about how it's his curse and she can't control it. And then clearly she can just like turn it on and off like she's an animorph.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Though at some point, in the future, she will be forever trapped in the body of a snake.
Right. Yeah. Very much letting the viewer at home know, like, it's the same Nagini. This is how we explain it. J.K. Rowling, I've known this for 20 years. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that was such
bullshit. So whack.
Why lie? Just say you thought it was cool.
Just say you thought it was cool.
It's not cool, but if you just say, you know what? I decided. I'm J.K. Rowling, and I decided that this is what happened. And I decided it yesterday. So there. Okay.
And also, why lie about something that is a bad look? If you knew for 20 years that you were going to have someone that's like canonically a Korean woman being the pet of a white man, which is a bad trope, why are you bragging about this?
And you ain't learned nothing in 20 years to change that?
She didn't think, oh, I should keep this one to myself. Maybe not.
This is great. No one's going to have any problem with this. Should I ask any Asian people about this? Nah.
Also, it's one of those things, too, where it's like, if we believed you that you've known this for 20 years and you casting a Korean woman is like, yikes on yikes on yikes on yikes. If you just decided this yesterday, casting a Korean woman is still yikes, but at least like we could give you the, you weren't sitting on this for 20 years and decided still to make this choice. It doesn't make you look better. It also is like really annoying. The lying about like what I've known and all this stuff is like, if you knew this, then why is there nothing in the original seven books to like allude to this? Because it's not important or it wasn't important enough. Right. So then if it wasn't important enough in your whatever, then no.
Why is it a major plot point now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So the circus scrams. They got to get out of Paris. The ringleader tells Tina that Credence is looking for his mother. And there was this black guy who was creeping at the circus the whole time, and the camera just keeps showing. And he is still there with Tina, and he is revealed to be Yusuf Kama. He is also the last in the heir of a very famous pureblood line, and he wants to show Tina proof of who he is. But before we can learn about this, we have to cut back to Grindelwald, and Grindelwald reveals basically that his whole shtick and his whole reason for licking Credence is that he wants to use Credence to kill Dumbledore. That's the whole reasoning for this.
Because he can't act against Dumbledore.
I forgot about... There are too many people in this movie.
Yeah. You did make a groan at Yusuf. Is there something about Yusuf that you want to say? Like, he feels weirdly shoehorned in again.
I mean... I'm pretty ambivalent about all of these people, so I think it's another one there. Here they come. It's just too many people. It's too many storylines. None of it really goes together. So it's just like, what's the point? Like she really could have left him out. Like, yeah. There's no reason for him to be here.
Also, what we saw when we were reading it is like his entire storyline is predicated on a lie, and then like he's just here, and then he doesn't do what he has to do. Like he's like, I think he took an unbreakable vow or something like that, but like he's going, it like it all ends up being nothing. So we spent all this time like learning his story or whatever, and then it all doesn't matter.
And then Zoe Kravitz goes, just kidding, your whole life is a lie. Yeah. What it also feels like with this movie, it's just because they set themselves up for failure in the first movie, in that all of the important roles in the movie were given to white people. Mm-hmm. And because it's a trilogy or a five-part movie series, you can't bring in a new character to be as important. So what they do is, it feels like in this movie, you're saying there's too many people. It feels like they just keep adding all these side people, and then they make them people of color, but then they're not really important, so you wonder why they're there. It's like when all these movies do the thing where you have the black best friend or the Hispanic neighbor. They're never the main character, they're always like the side person, and you just have like a bunch of them in this movie with like Zoe Kravitz and Yusuf and Nagini, and none of them actually amount to anything in the movie. Like, they all could have been deleted.
Yeah, it's very much, I mean, it's even like in the first one too, honestly, like
the president doesn't, she does nothing.
Serafina Pickery, like her role is so small, and like Gemma Chan too, like their roles are so small to the point where like when they initially announced, they didn't announce them because they're in these side small roles, and like so they're not headliners, they're not like, you're not coming to see them. But then when after hearing the backlash and her being like, well, you have to wait, there's five movies, so people, which is like, that's bullshit, but then all of a sudden it's like, get her Serafina's wand, like come look at Madame Yazoo, which like is racist as hell. And then it's the same thing here, where instead these are all people that like would not get, they wouldn't have been on the poster.
And they weren't on the posters.
And they, like, that's what I'm saying. Like Yusuf and Lita and like all them, like they don't need to be, because they don't do anything. Like, they're not necessary.
And Pickery is in one scene.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's not actually fixing the problem, but like also there are so many problems with this movie that like the people, like, I mean, the racism is a big one, but it's also just like one of like, I don't even know, so many things. Yeah. It's just like, I don't
know. It doesn't even like, matter at this point. You're just like,
because like nothing matters. Like as you're watching it, nothing matters.
So Grindelwald wants Credence to kill Dumbledore. There's this weird scene with this guy Krall with his loyalty coming into question. Oh. This entire scene exists so that later on, when he dies in a fire, we understand that the fire kills unloyal people. Like, that's the entire point of this scene.
Is that the point of this scene?
Yeah, it is. Doesn't he only ask, like, hey, do we want to do this now? Or, like, maybe we could find somebody else. Like, isn't that his only thing?
It's that, and then he also thinks, like, is Credence going to be able to kill Dumbledore? But he doesn't just call him Dumbledore. He starts the to call great. Him the great Dumbledore, and then stops himself short and then just calls him Albus. So, like,
is that what that
yeah, and,
about?
And yeah, it's a very innocuous question for Grindelwald to be like, you're disloyal, Krull. Like, it's quite an overreaction.
I feel like he was just bringing up a valid point. I think he still peeps the vision. He just needed to know a little bit about the details.
You can't just surround yourself with yes men, Grindelwald. Of all, you need someone to push back.
Yeah.
You need people to provide constructive criticism in your life.
That's important. I feel like even in your evil schemes, like workshopping.
Yeah, we got to workshop,
you know,
and edit
feedback.
It.
That's important.
Looking for plot holes.
Punch up your stuff. So now we go back to Jacob and Newt, and Newt is asking Jacob what he should say to Tina when he finally sees her again. Jacob says, say whatever you want. And then Newt says, she has eyes like a salamander. And Jacob says, don't say that. Again, if the movie series was just the two of these guys, it'd be wonderful.
Yeah. What,
it'd be so pleasant. So they use some special port key bucket to go to France because that is the only way for him to undocumentedly go to France. I guess you can't apparate really super far. I feel like he could have just kept apparating closer and closer distances until he got to France. I mean, London's not that far away from France. So you could have just like kept apparating hundreds of feet away and then you would get there eventually, like your Nightcrawler poof poofing your way there. I don't get why you have to pay creepy bucket guy a bunch of galleons to use his weird bucket port key. It seems so unnecessary.
Maybe it's
the water. Because the channel?
Maybe, no, I was thinking about, it's from a different book, which y'all should read. It's amazing. Ray Bear by Jordan Ifueco, they have this technology that's kind of like apparating, sort of.
Okay.
But they're like stations.
Oh.
And like you can only go through a couple a day or like at a time or whatever before like it starts messing with your physiology. So like maybe it's something like that. But also y'all should just go read Ray Bear and then, I don't know.
You forget about this.
That sounds good. That sounds very good.
Forget this existence.
So Newt goes to what is the equivalent of the French Diagon Alley, I guess. It's the same place where you go through a statue. It's the same thing that Tina did to get to the circus. And then, and this is just absolutely bonkers, he uses a spell to see the past. And he can see everything that happened. He saw the kappa, which is one of the creatures that was at the circus for some reason, because we have to hit our quota of creatures. Then he saw Tina. And here's my question. Why didn't the Aurors use this before they put Sirius Black in jail?
Boom.
I've always wondered why didn't they just use time turners, because that seems like an easy fix too. But also, if you can just see the past with a spell, why don't you do that?
Because they didn't have Newt on the Force. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
The problem with this is that she has set this up as a prequel. But she also has like a, well, wouldn't this be cool? Wouldn't this be cool? And it's like everything that you do here that affects the main story, which is why I freaking hate these. There's so much stuff that she just throws out that affects so much magic. Like even Jacob just being able to remember after the spell. It's like, why didn't you use that on, or at least attempt to use it on all of the people that Lockhart obliviated? Or why do you use a potion instead of obliviate? Or, you know what I mean? Like, for the Quidditch World Cup, when they were obliviating that dude, like, 50 times a minute, why didn't they just wait and give him a potion?
Yeah, why didn't Hermione use a potion instead of run the risk of, like, messing up her parents' brains?
Exactly.
Wild. Wild, wild, wild. So in this flashbacky see the past spell, they show you what the giant lion looking thing is. It's a Zowu. I don't think this was in the book, but that's a new beast.
Yeah, it's a Chinese Zowu.
Whatever that means.
He can jump.
So Newt then does Accio Niffler, which you're not supposed to be able to Accio live creatures.
So bad.
You go. Accio Niffler. And then we cut to Queenie at the French Ministry. And another thing, rare joke in this movie, but a joke that lands. When I lived in France for a little bit, this happened to me all the time, is when you go up to some sort of establishment and you don't speak French very well and they greet you in French, the right thing to do is in French to say, I'm sorry, I don't speak French. Do you speak English? Like that one sentence got me so far.
Yeah.
But Queenie just does the bad thing, which is just saying, sorry, I don't speak French in English. And the sadness that comes over that receptionist's face is so accurate.
Yeah.
That is so correct. That is exactly what French people do when in English you say, I don't speak French. That was whoever decided that, well done, because that was the realism on point.
I remember going to Paris with my parents and being like, you have to at least attempt in French first.
That's all you got
to
say.
They will spit in our food. They're like, we would go to eat, and I was like, they are going to spit in our food. Just say bonjour, please.
So now we're in the ministry. Queenie has this thing where she like opens her suitcase, papers fly over her, classic hijinks. But then we see Abernathy disguised as an old lady with Grindelwald's French henchwoman, and they're just in the ministry, because apparently the French ministry also doesn't have any sort of security. They're just there. They're in an elevator. They have, like, a book in a bag, and then that's it. So cutting out to Queenie outside the ministry in the rain, and while she's walking around because she couldn't find Tina, she sees slash hears Jacob wanting to order some French food, which love seeing Jacob trying to get French baked goods. But then she, like, tries to find him and can't. And now all of a sudden she's hearing everybody's thoughts, which is a new thing about her mind reading that we haven't learned. We don't know if it's because of the stress or if it's her not having control over her powers, but she gets, like, overwhelmed. So I do feel bad for her.
It doesn't make any sense, though.
No, it doesn't make any sense. She's supposed to, from the first movie, it sets up that she is, like, really good at this. She's got it down pat. She can read people's minds. She's competent.
It's annoying because she's not.
It's not legitimacy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's annoying because she set up legitimacy and what that is in Order of the Phoenix. And, I mean, fuck Snape. Hate him. But he was very clear about how it's not mind reading. Mm-hmm. So, like, what she's doing to begin with is not legitimacy. Mm-hmm. And then they set up the rules of her, what they're calling legitimacy, and then for this scene decide that none of that matters again. And we just, like, I've just accepted that this is what you're calling it, and now you messed up the rules again, so I don't know.
Well, they don't stop there with the confusion, because after doing this where legitimacy doesn't make any sense, in the rain, she sits down on the wet sidewalk? What?
It just doesn't make any sense. And it also doesn't make any sense, like, why she's so distraught, because, like,
you left him.
You know your sister's in France, but you don't know where she is. You tried out one place,
mm-hmm,
and can't find her. You can't send an owl. You can't, like, what? That's it? That was it?
Yeah. And then, yeah, Robin, you put it perfectly. She left Jacob. You started the argument slash us being apart. Mm-hmm. Unless you have, like, immediate regrets, which you could have just apparated right back. You know Jacob's not going anywhere.
Right.
It just makes no sense. So she's all upset. She then gets approached by Grindy's henchwoman. She, like, shows her kindness. And then we, of course, cut to Nagini and Credence walking around.
So many cut twos. So many cut twos.
So many cut twos. Grimsom is also there, like, creeping up behind him. They enter a home, and they ask for Irma Dugard, because apparently Credence's adoption papers said that Irma Dugard is the one who gave Credence to Madame Barebone.
Her name was Barebone.
Very believable last name. To Madame don't have a lot of money.
I forgot.
I'm sorry. So Credence starts talking to Irma. Irma starts to explain the whole situation, and Irma says that she was just a servant of his mother. But then what happens? Grimsom just shows up, and then just, he's inside the wall? Like, he does some spell where he becomes the monster in the first Stranger Things and, like, is inside the walls now. And then he comes out of the wall and just kills Irma right off the bat. I guess trying to kill Credence. We later learn that he was doing this on purpose because he's working for Grindelwald. But here's the thing. I understand that in these movies, a lot of people are doing nonverbal spells, but this dude does a nonverbal Avada Kedavra. Like, what has changed?
Fake.
And it happens multiple times in this movie. Towards the end, the aura does it to that lady in the crowd. Like, people now are doing nonverbal, like, unforgivable spells?
She does not like magic, I think. Maybe she did that one time, and now she's like, dang, this all y'all gonna pay me to do. But also, I think, the thing is they don't say it in the movie. I'm like, so I missed it until I think someone mentioned it, and then when we read it says, Irma is half elf, like half house elf.
Yeah, they say it at the end of the movie.
Okay, yeah, because it's like gross and like brings up a lot of different
consent knows no place in this movie, and it's like, yeah, really it's a problem
there. Yeah.
Like, there are, like, multiple instances, like Queenie and Jacob, Irma's entire existence, Leta Lestrange, which you'll get to later, and it's like over and over and over again in which she is just like throwing consent out the window, and it's like there's no acknowledgement of the fact that, like, it's a problem.
Yeah,
they never bring it up. Like, it's almost as if the movie is not, they're so confident in the viewer that they're going to get that this stuff is bad without addressing it at all.
Right.
I think they go so far in that direction to try to shy away from making it too plain and clear, like, this is bad because of lack of consent, but it goes so far in that direction that they don't ever bring it up. And like, when they do the Lita Lestrange backup stuff, it's almost as if the dad being a bad dad is equal to taking away a woman and without consent having a child with her. Like, they equate him being grumpy to, like, basically, you know, mm-hmm. I don't, it's just, it's wild that the movie just like has all the stuff, like you're saying, about consent without like really addressing it head on.
Yeah. What I remember from this scene is the effect was really cool because it was like he blew up the room and then there was like a time turnery thing where it went back to being okay, and then it blew up again, and then it went back again.
Yeah, Credence, because he only turns into an Obscurus when someone does something mean to him or talks mean about his family or does something mean to his family. He turns into an Obscurus, and then Credence explodes the room, and then it's as if he's trying to use the pieces and the all the shards of the wood from the structure to attack Grimsom. But Grimsom just hides himself in, like, a bubble, which works really well, and he just stays safe the entire time. So he's, like, trying to repeatedly attack him with a bunch of like wood shrapnel, and then Grimsom is fine.
What? I do not remember this scene at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember the bubble.
I remember him becoming an Obscurus in that moment, but only because I remember it from the trailer.
Like, yeah, Grimsom covers himself in a bubble and then is just safe. And he's like not even trying hard.
So it's a bubble. I thought it was a time thing. I thought, you know what it was? Is remember when they break into the Department of Mysteries and then Homeboy becomes a baby? It's like his head's a baby and then it's not a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe they tried to actually put that on film, which was a big disappointment that they didn't put it on film the first time. But no, he's just in a bubble. And that just reminded me of Snape dying in the bubble.
So then we see a scene of Grimsom and Grindelwald in some little alleyway type deal. And we learn that Grimsom is working for Grindelwald, which makes everything make more sense.
This is the last time we see him, right?
Yeah, he just disappears.
Cool.
But it's like, what's the point of the ministry if you like all of these people are just working for Grindelwald and boxing in and out of the ministry? Like, there's Abernathy and now Grimsom. Like, can y'all just not hire a fascist? Is that just against your, is it, what is the handbook? Where's the hiring manager? Here.
They don't have one.
They clearly don't vet at all. They don't Google anybody's name. They do nothing.
No background checks.
None.
Fine.
So now he is tasked with keeping Credence safe because now he's going to like keep watching Credence, but he wants to keep him alive, basically revealing that this whole situation was just to like kill Irma so that Credence didn't learn about his truth. Then they say for the greater good to each other back and forth to kind of let you know like, oh, look, they said the thing from the seventh book. And then we cut to Kama in a bathroom, very creepily putting eye drops in his eye. And we don't know why, we just see like a little thing in his eye. Later, we learn what that is. But Newt and Jacob, and I guess they have to be like, this is a French movie, right? So they sit outside a French cafe and they do the whole people watching thing, like a bunch of French restaurants are. And they're following some feather that they had enchanted that's going to tell them where Kama is. And they eventually talk to Kama, and he doesn't want to talk to them at first, but then they like semi-threaten him and say that they know he was with Tina. So they ask him like, where's Tina? And he's like, I'll show you where she is. And then he leads them into like a creepy looking basement thing. Oh, it's a jail cell. Oh, so now they're all behind bars in jail. And he says that he has to kill Credence because either he dies or I do.
Oh,
and then once he says that, he collapses to the ground. And then there's a scene with like Newt. They break out thanks to Pickett, can just break any lock because that's apparently all Pickett exists for, our little Bo Truckle friend. And Newt then goes out and he like calms down the Zowu with this little small fluffy cat toy thing and gets him to fit in a case. And of course, that whole giant ass thing can fit in the case, but not Jacob in the first movie.
Yep.
Because we have to make a joke about him being too big because that's funny.
Yep.
And that's going to be the end of this episode. And you're two discussion talking about Grindelwald. We made it to pretty much the halfway point. And now I get to spare you.
Okay, I have a big question for you, Mike.
Yes, what's up?
What happened?
What happened what?
What we just talked about. What? Give me a sentence summary of what happened. What happened?
Like in the whole movie so far, what's the recap?
Yeah, where are we at? And why are we there?
We're in France. Because Credence is in France, and so is Grindelwald. And now all the main characters have gotten to France differently.
Why?
Because Grindelwald's in France and he's bad. And he's going to do something with Credence, and Newt talked to Credence that one time, and it kind of worked before the Aurors exploded him with vague spells. So Dumbledore knows, it's got to be you, my guy. And that's, yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Cool.
Whole lot of nothing has happened. Ooh. That's what's happened.
It's just, yeah. Wow.
We went to a lot of places and saw a lot of people and... for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
I owe a great deal to the two of you. I feel like I'm forever indebted for making you talk about this for now 90 minutes total.
Yep,
you are.
So, I apologize, but I couldn't think of better people to rant about this with you. It felt right to get the most similar righteous anger on the show. You two were the perfect fit. But if people want to hear you talking about stuff and doing other stuff, where can they do so?
So at blackgirlscreate.org is where you can find all of the things we do. We're a space for Black creators and nerds to talk about and make things. Wizard Team is our Harry Potter podcast, where we went through chapter by chapter and then did Cursed Child, and then we did Fantastic Beasts, and then we did Crimes of Grindelwald. And then we did a Time Room series that was super fun. So if you want to hear us yell more, you don't have to skip the post-canon, but you could.
If you want to hear us talk with Mike and enjoy it, you can check out his episode of Wizard Team in the Time Room.
Yeah, if you need like a palate cleanser to us all being angry at the same thing, you can have us doing the Time Turner thing where we said, what if Snape wasn't the worst?
Yep.
And that was fun because we got to create a fake world where Snape doesn't suck. It was great. It was so happy. I loved
mean, he
it.
Still sucked. He just wasn't the worst.
I mean, yeah, he just didn't. He wasn't as bad. You know, he sucked a little bit less.
And I feel like that is a world that I could, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be in.
It's good. Yeah.
Much better than where we are now.
All of your Time Room apps are great. I highly recommend them to everyone, so go check those out. So Robin and Mayanna, thank you so much for joining. Listeners, thanks for listening. And as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, before they shoehorn beasts into their story because they're contractually obligated to do so, wizard on. Hello, it's spring and we don't have to be covered in down jackets all the time. It's really nice if you want some merchandise to sport in the springtime weather that should be coming somewhat soon, right? I forget what the groundhog said. You can get some new merch from Potterless or Horse or all the shows on Multitude if you go to multitude.productions/merch. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, so much fun stuff, multitude.productions/merch. Potterless was created by Mike Schubert. It is hosted by Mike Schubert. It is edited by Mike Schubert. It is produced by Mike Schubert, as well as Vicky Garcia, Christine, Aaron Johnson, Klaus Rilopu, Marchismo, Juan Sanfiliu, Rosemary, Daj, Maria, Lisa C. Keen, Audra, Eleanor Curlin, Nikita Power, Rachel Guthrie, Zachary Polito, Alex Consulver, John Cocker, Noel Basile, Claire Spencer, Rory Collier, Veronica Bartova, Lotta Bartova, Noah, Tracy Toya, Colleen, Jennifer Marklew, Justin Montero, Jacob Parrish, Maya Gray, Mark Boddy, Polly Burge, Zena Rosnowski, Harlan Haskins, Noelia, Nikki Harris, Kine, Amanda Alford, Kafir Shaltiel, Sarah Shetter, Marta Morrison, Maya Floor Sake, Georgia Davis, Skyla Lilly, Adele Ryan, Professor Threat, Ellie Hoskovchova, Michael David Yordi, Kelly Otilio, Carrie Crumpler, Connie Binkowski, Jen Went, Nedry OS, Will Hughes, Marco Zepeda, Marique Rieger, Ashton Gabrielson, Brittany Gutierrez, Phelan, The Meadows Family, Ginny From the Block, Heather Langille, Kevin Stewart, Jarls Fiven, Peter McGrath, Jan and Rose Daub, Callahan and Daris, Leah Reed, Bella Barlack, Melanie Demi, Becca Spry, Reese Deegnan, Adam Graham, Joseph Torp, Madison, Don't Call Me Nymphadora, Sabrina Balsiger, Sophia Loves Pigs, Farzan Jarabat, Melanie DeGrave, Matt Barger, Okamahime, Bony Pony, Kelsey Gillespie, Rike Mangor Jensen, Taylor Payne, Megan Moon, Riley Kitas, Laurel Happy, Erica Butler, Miranda, Kendra Hertz, Natanya Page, Yogan Chanley, Darcy Alexandra Harrison, Sandra Rose, Craig McRoberts, Lior Nachum, Demi Lynn, Michelle Spurgeon, Henrika Wolf, Casey Canales, Megan Stempin, Zat, Jack Gitzes, Sophia Leone, Dane Nemcher, Robin Garcia, Chick Parr, Mermaid and Her Daddykins, Gregory Hughes, Caw Caw, Mother Feathers, Nina Jazalik, Ribbon Monstrosity, Brittany Harper, Gavin Miller, Jack Parr, Serenity Allen, Emily Quinlan, Haley Hastings, Sabrina Casanova, Jenny Browers, Laura, Hila, Eileen Gazesh, Annette Pipitone, Kirsten R. Cunningham, Hufflepuff alumni, Brett Clausen, Mary Price, Artemis, Trans People Are People, Samantha McNamara, Nina Campley, Tatiana Schmitova, Taylor Roberts, Karis Davies, Little Vomit Spiders Running Around, Tony Joe McHufflepuff, Punkfish, Wire Warrior 4976,
Catherine Karolchak, Joe Sander, Michael Peavy, Maya Saunders, Steamed Nuggets, and Can't I Batter? Web design by Kelly Schubert, and the music is by Bettina Campomanes. If you want to find us on social media, you can at facebook.com/potterless, twitter.com/potterlesspod, instagram.com/potterlesspodcast, and reddit.com/r/potterless. For any and all information about the show, you can go to potterlesspodcast.com. Bonus episodes and bonus content lives at patreon.com/potterless, and merchandise lives at potterlesspodcast.com/merch. If you want to participate in our charity raffle that is going through March 2021, you can head on over to potterlesspodcast.com/raffledprints. And if you want to tell someone about the show, you shoot them a direct message, you talk about it on social media, you leave a rating and review on iTunes. All of those things help, and I would very much appreciate it. Again, thank you so much for listening, and until next time, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, wizard on!
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.